Over time, my writing, some in prose, some in free verse poetry, piled up until they outgrew the folder, and I put them in a carton. I'd never had the urge to keep a journal or even a diary, but at the time I must have known that somehow it was important to capture all this. Ecstasy was soon accompanied by agony, though. Although I experienced spiritual highs that have not been repeated since, I also suffered such personal despair that I never want to go through again. I could describe my thought life in those days as a line graph. Up and down, just a chaotic pattern of peaks and valleys. More peaks than valleys, for sure. But the valleys were really tough going. I emphasized that my thought life was a line graph. My normal, regular life of getting up in the morning, making coffee, getting breakfast for the kids, daily tasks at home, and my work, that remained like this. Not like this. Looking back, I can tell you that so many of my battles were with Satan and condemnation. He took away much of the joy and caused all the despair in those early years. He spent a great deal of time trying to convince me I was going crazy. I'd be laughed at. I'd never fit in anywhere. I'd better not trust or confide in clergy. I was such a failure in God's eyes that he was sorry that he'd ever even bothered with me. It was time, I'd hear in my mind, to give up this church job and go elsewhere and be more successful. When that didn't work, I had a confidence crisis, got up to speak at a meeting, forgot what I was going to say. After that, I was afraid to get up for the longest time in workshops and seminars that I would draw a blank. It was an awful time. I was a sitting duck because I didn't recognize Satan for who he is. In all my years of attending church and hearing about good and evil, evil was not personified. I heard few, if any, references to Satan, Lucifer, the devil, as an actual being, an entity. No, evil was presented more as a character, human character flaw within the flock that could be corrected by just shaping up a bit, reading a self-help book, and walking on a different path. In my first encounter with Satan, I suddenly felt the presence of evil, momentarily. It was terrifying, but soon I felt the presence of the Lord, and I was no longer afraid. It was all very strange. When it was over, I knew I had just felt Satan's power and force, and then the much stronger, more powerful force of Jesus. With this experience, he was showing me some of the dark side of the supernatural world. Prior to this, I'm not sure I even believed Satan existed. He was just not something my 20th century head really ever thought about. And even when I did, I still didn't recognize the harm Satan was doing in my life. I kept thinking the negative thoughts were coming from a disappointed God. I had my second personal encounter with Satan. I woke up and I felt such fear. I felt someone was in my room. I didn't see anyone, but I felt a presence. Absolute stark fear. Then I felt I was being shaken like a rag doll, violently. I was fighting to breathe, fighting to live. I felt a tightening around my neck as if someone was choking me to death. I think I'm going to die, and I call out to Jesus. The shaking stops. The invisible hands around my neck untangle. I see in my mind that the rag doll is being hurled against a closet door and slammed silently to the floor. where it vanished like a wisp of smoke. I've given much thought to this experience. Was it a real experience, or was it a nightmare? So vivid and real that I felt the sheer terror of it. At some point, I realized that that's irrelevant. What is relevant is that Satan's real and means us harm. You can't believe in God and not believe in Satan. It's as simple as that. During this same time, I was also engaged in battles with the Lord around submission, surrender, and stubbornness. I'll share the first two stanzas and the last from a longer poem that I call, fittingly, Stubbornness. My great and glorious God, I haven't lost sight of you. Thank you, Lord, for keeping me with you. If I could see into your eyes, what would I see? Pain as you watch me in such agony? Patience while I tire myself out? Amusement at how unnecessary this all is? And much later in the poem, I close with, heaven on earth for me, Lord, will be when I spend all my life and not just sporadic moments in awe, praising and worshiping you. I guess, Lord, it's my stubbornness that gets in the way. The Holy Spirit also began to teach me how to separate condemnation and conviction. Hallelujah, that's a big one. Condemnation comes from Satan, who puts the ideas into our minds that we are dismal failures, that we'll never measure up to God's expectations, that we've invented our experiences, that God will never be able to use us, and so on and so on and so on. Conviction comes from the Holy Spirit as he reveals to us areas in our lives where we need to make some change, and then he directs us to a better path. Gently and not so gently, he led me through all this. The Holy Spirit has shown me how unaware we can be about our thoughts. Negative thoughts can easily become negative actions. Negative actions cannot produce positive outcomes. Daily I prayed a little prayer that went like this, Lord, don't let me get away. And he knew what I was asking, that I didn't want to turn away from him no matter where I was in this walk. I learned that he wasn't going to give up on me and that he will never forsake me. He will never let me go. I hug that promise to me to this day. I started to read E. Stanley Jones' books. In his Victory Through Surrender, Jones said, whenever you're not willing to be willing, then just ask the Lord to make you willing to be willing. So that became my daily prayer. Lord, I'm willing to be willing. And it works. I felt very much alone most of the time, or much of the time at least. Such loneliness in my workplace. I was the ugly duckling. I went on a week-long spiritual retreat and was given a prophecy that the Lord would put people, clergy, back into my life once I was completely surrendered to the Lord. About a year later, I was led into the quiet evangelical fellowship within the United Church, and soon after that, many committed Christians from several denominations began to enter my life and settle into my walk with me. I finally understood. The Lord allowed me these absolute lows in order to lead me to complete dependence on him and not to be too influenced by the clergy I was working with and the setting I was working in. Around this time, the Lord began to use me to help ministers who were struggling in their faith with their calling to the ministry. The church had changed so much in the 25 years or so since they had been ordained, and many felt lost, abandoned, and unsupported by the denomination as the church moved more and more into holding a more radical view of social justice and morality, a view that didn't coincide with their understanding of Scripture. In 1989, there was a mass exodus when well over 100 ministers resigned from the United Church. After that, a steady trickle each year. Some went into other denominations. Others established little community churches. Others gave up ordained ministry as their source of livelihood. Many were quite afraid about their financial futures. Most had no understanding of their rights to their pension, and they simply no longer trusted the national church. I think without hesitation, without exception, they trusted me. And I stick-handled the transfer of hundreds of thousands of dollars of their pension entitlements to outside financial institutions. For my remaining years with the United Church, many clergy gravitated to me. A visit to my office, a conversation after a workshop, maybe to talk through something, to ask my advice, sometimes just to vent, other times to pray. These were holy ground moments. Sometimes I was invited to churches, both evangelical and liberal, to lead the Sunday service. I was also invited to Christian organizations and retreats to give my testimony. I loved my work, and I thought that I would remain in the United Church until retirement. I tried to present retirement savings, which is kind of boring for most people, and tried to present pension and insurance in a way that people's eyes didn't glaze over. I thought I would work in the church till retirement, but this was not to be.